Hello, this is Ari, the spiritual sinner. The third time is a charm. This is our third podcast episode ever. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, Ari, how are you?
I'm all right. So what's up?
Not too much.
You got any questions?
I don't know. I think you wanted to talk about questions in general today.
Yeah, questions are a no-no from community. You know that, right?
What kind of questions are a no-no?
Well, you know, the ones that have to do with religion, God, Emunah, Betachon. See, you know, in the from community, it's like, we do it because that's just the way it is. Well, Chazal said you have to do X, Y, Z, and they were never wrong. So if you have a question about it, you're a rebel, or you're a OTD, or you're a rabble-rouser or something, you know? We don't have to know the answers or the reasons behind everything. It's just, that's the way it is. You know, it's like that, you know, your parents used to say, because I said so, type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how silly and stupid that is, and just... It's like, you know, I know, like myself, I'm in the real estate business, right? Like if I was showing a client the house and they would ask me a question about the house, and I would say, that's just the way it is. You know, I'm not going to answer your question. Like, what are the chances that those people actually buy the house? That's pretty much how I look at religion looking back, you know, over the, you know, couple of decades that I'm here on this wonderful earth. Like, every time I had questions, you know, if I searched the answers myself, you know, they would either give me answers or lead to more questions. But if I would ask somebody who's supposed to be in the position of giving answers to explain the truth, the quote unquote truth, very often, you know, the standard answer you get is, that's just the way it is. We have to believe. Emuna pshuta. We have all these, like, you know, code words for shut up and don't ask questions, you know? Emuna pshuta. Yeah, emuna pshuta. That's, you know, like, go back. The Yiddishkeit is, we just believe. We just take it without question, you know? Like, take it up the ass and don't ask questions.
So I feel like there are people, though, and I mean, obviously, who that's okay for them. Like, it satisfies their answer.
Well, you know? Well, yes. I mean, like, you know, we always talk about the sheep. Sheep, give them grass and they're happy. Yeah, that's great. But what about the one sheep that actually has, you know, says, you know, I'm tired of grass. Well, why do I have to only eat grass? You know, why can't I eat something else? Right? You know, maybe there's an explanation for it. But if the answer is always, that's just the way it is, you're a sheep, eat the fucking grass and shut up. You know, any sheep that has a little bit of an IQ should realize that that's not okay. I mean, even from a Torah perspective, you know, not that I'm a big, you know, Torah scholar or anything, but I believe that if you look in the Chazal itself, no, the whole Talmud is based on questions and understanding and analyzing. We have, like, even the Mishnah, I believe, says something like Ein Habayishin Lomid, meaning, I think that's in Pirkei Avos. That means, you know, someone who's afraid to ask is never going to be anything, because that is what Judaism is supposed to be. It's about questions and answers. You know, it developed into this frummy, you know, it's just the way it is. You know, probably because, you know, a lot of the quote-unquote educators, teachers, mechanchim, mechanchos, rabbis, gedolim, call them what you will, don't have the answers.
Right.
So it's easier to say, you know, oh, you're a kofer because you're asking questions than to say, I don't know.
Well, you what know? Do you think would be the reaction, or let's just talk about you, what would have been your reaction if you asked a question and instead of being given, you know, just shut up and stop asking questions, you were given the answer, you know, I don't know.
You know, I don't know is a very good answer. You know why? Because it's an answer. It's not a push-off. It's not a shut up and just accept it. It's, I don't know. It's okay not to know. I don't know everything. Nobody knows everything. You know, when I have a truth, right? If I can defend my truth, I will. If I can say, I don't know, let me try to find out, it doesn't negate the truth. But when someone says, if that's the way it is, don't ask, that's a red flag that the truth or their truth is something's wrong with it.
Right.
You know, if you don't know the answer, that's fine. You know, my kids ask me questions all the time. Sometimes I say, you know what? I don't know. I'm gonna look it up. I'll Google it. I'll do research. I'll get back to you. That validates their question and it makes them feel like it's okay not to know, but let's find out. But if I tell my kids, that's just the way it is, because daddy said so, right? That automatically is a red flag for me, saying that daddy has no clue and daddy's just doing whatever he's doing by rote, because that's what his daddy did. And ultimately, it makes it not true. When in fact, it could be some truth to it, some truth, total truth, but automatically when you say, you know, that's just the way it is, accept it, anyone with a brain is gonna, you know.
But I think for sheep or for high demand religion, which is what from Judaism is, that I don't know answer to leadership or whatever feels like it's not a thing. You know, it makes it less legitimate if you don't know.
Yeah, again, from the powers that be, the leaders, the Torah, whatever you want to call those things at the top of this cult, right? To them, not knowing is a lessening of their power.
Right,
the all powerful have to know everything.
Right.
So if they know, they'll be the first to get up at the pulpit and explain what they know.
Yeah.
But the second they don't know something, they're like, that's the way it is. We have to chok v'lo yavar. This is what Chazal say. There's so many code words for it. Rather than humbly saying, we don't know, let's figure it out. Or maybe we were wrong. That's even worse to say they were wrong, right? Or that maybe things could change, you know? Like there's so many things, like, you know, even in Chazal that we find later that science disproves. And, you know, the intellectually honest Rabbanim or even regular frummies will try to figure out how can we, you know, synchronize that it does make sense, or can we say we made a mistake or whatever it was. But that automatic knee-jerk reaction, well, Chazal were right. Chazal said the earth was flat. Science disproves that. You know, a normal intellectual human being will say, let's try to figure out. Maybe they made a mistake. Maybe they, you know, we can admit that they were very smart people, but they did not have the tools to measure or to see or to calculate certain things. That's normal. But the knee-jerk reaction of the frummi is like, Chazal were right. The earth's fucking flat. I'm telling you, it's flat. We saw, you know, the, you know, from, you know, images from space that it's not. Doesn't matter. Chazal's right. It must be the cameras are lying. I mean, that's just stupid, asinine responses because Chazal was right. I don't think that.
Well, I don't understand at what point we kind of, or at least from people, kind of made Chazal or leadership into this godlike, can do no wrong group of people. When,
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know when that began, but in my understanding, it actually minimizes Chazal.
Absolutely,
it actually makes them less holy and less smart. You know, a smart person is someone who can say, you know what, yeah, with the new information that we have, you know, we might have made a mistake. But when you say whatever they say is true, and me and you know it's not, it negates all the other things they say, which maybe were true. So let's say they say 100% of the stuff they say.
They're questioning. Yeah.
Right. In other words, if they can say, we made a mistake on 5% of the stuff, let's say, you know, that means the other 95 can stand strong and we can still hold on to that. But when you say they're infallible, like whatever they say is God's truth, that means then I have to question everything they said, right? Every Gemara, every Medrash that doesn't make sense, but was this proven later on? You know, if you approach it with it, no questions asked, this is the way it is. If you ask a question, you're a kofar and you can't be part of the Jewish community, which is really how they react. You know, they claim that they, you know, they were out to accept everyone, and so accepting, that's until you have questions that they can't answer, and suddenly they become, you know, antagonists. Oh, you're messing with Chazal, you're messing with us, you're messing with our power.
Right, how dare you do that? Who do you think you are?
Yeah, again, I think that most people see through it. I mean, obviously the sheep either don't or don't want to see through it, and I get that. I mean, we discussed that already. You know, there are certain sheep that just would rather just keep on grazing and keep on going through their life, eating their grass, and they're happy. Right. And you know what? God bless them. You know, I have no problem, you know, I respect that. But
oh, it's an easier life in a lot of ways, you know?
Of course, yeah. You know, you wake up in the morning and you do what they tell you, you go to sleep at night and do what
they
tell
you. You don't have to think about it.
Exactly, and you know, and if that works, that works. But, you know, but to expect everyone to subscribe to that and accept that, when it, you know, when doing that is just against, you know, just the nature of any thinking intellectual, it just doesn't make sense. You know, I happen to think, you know, that this issue with questions, it's worse in the educational system by the girls than by the boys. It's just the way it is. You know, I've spoken to many people over the years, you know, who be in girls' high schools or in seminaries, when they ask questions, where, you know, trying to understand Yiddishkeit, Emunah, Betachon, Torah, all that stuff. And not only are they not given answers or are told that's the way it is, they're actually, like, you know, penalized for asking. You know, how dare you ask such a thing? You're a rebel. You're a bad influence on the rest of the class, on the school, and kids are even thrown out of class or put in suspension for asking questions. And this is real stories that I've heard firsthand from, you know, girls and women who, you know, had legitimate questions and not looking to be, you know, facetious or rabble rousers. They had questions. You know, Emunah and Betachon and Yiddishkeit and God is a lot of questions.
Yep.
I'm not saying there are no legitimate answers. There may be. But like I said, you know, the second you tell someone, shut up and just accept it, then their truth becomes not truth. And that's my issue. Yeah. Yeah. The boy school, it's a little bit better because boys, you know, are taught more, and so they're able to do their own research. I mean, I have questions. You know, sometimes I'll ask, sometimes I'll go myself and delve into the text, which just, not that girls can't do that. I mean, I think they should do that, but that's one of the things, you know, they do to control the population, is they quote unquote don't let girls learn, so to speak, in the term system, which is stupid because there's nowhere in the Torah to say that girls are not allowed to learn and allowed to know. And, you know, if you look in Jewish history, before the Frumis took over, I mean, there's plenty of learning going on with the females and whatever. That's a whole different conversation.
You know, I'm really grateful for, you know, my school, like, we were taught that, and it was a little bit, you know, not done at that time at all, but we were taught to do that. And actually, if I look back now and knowing all the girls who graduated from my school now, like, the majority of them are not from anymore. So maybe that was just a bad decision on the school's part to teach girls how to do that.
But, or you see, that's what they're afraid of. They're afraid as soon as people start educating themselves, they're going to see that being quote unquote from is not the only way.
Right.
You know, you can be a good person, a moral person, a spiritual person, a Jewish person, and not be observant, or be observant on your terms.
That's the crux of why that's not encouraged. The
exactly.
less thinking you do, the better for, you know,
exactly. And there's so many things I see, you know, where they read on the internet or things that are happening today, you know, where they put out these bans and proclamations against this, that, and the next thing, as if it's like Torah gospel law. And then if you do a little, you know, digging, you know, the things they're screaming about are not even in there, or in there loosely, or in there, you know, arbitrarily. And it's just like they get up there and they preach and the sheep just accept it. I mean, like, you know, for example, like this from thing, like the skirt has to be 4 inches below the knee, right? There's no source for that. There is absolutely positive. Even if you want to be from right wing and follow halacha black and white, there's no such thing anywhere. And I've asked a lot of rabbis, and I've done research. You know, you want to live a life tzniyas, let's say, that's fine. But this thing about if it's 3 inches, not 4 inches, I'm going to take a ruler and measure it. That takes the whole beauty of tzniyas, even if you want to prescribe to that lifestyle, and it makes it into a cultish stupidity as opposed to something that could be beautiful. I understand and respect what could be beautiful about tzniyas and those kind of things. Mm-hmm. But when they make it into if you don't cover your knees 3.72 inches, then you're a rebel, and then you're a, you know, you're off the derech.
Right, and I think we've spoken about this before, where, you know, that kind of thing is equated with not keeping Shabbos, and then people go, fuck it all. Like, if this is what...
Exactly,
right.
Exactly. I mean, I myself, a lot of the things I don't do is exactly for that reason. I was raised with so many...
Uh-oh.
I was told that, you know, if I didn't do this or that, then I might as well not keep Shabbos, you know, fuck
right.
Shabbos. But again, that's exactly what I'm saying. You know, let's say a teacher would get up and, you know, and say, girls, you have to cover your knees 4 inches. And then
you
a girl would say...
We've talked about this before. I think you need... Someone needs to throw up a website called... Chumrah versus Halacha, and just list all the things that are chumah things and all the things that are actually halacha.
And absolutely.
I think that would be so helpful.
And then they would ban the internet, saying it's because we don't want them watching porn. In reality, it's they don't want them seeing things that can actually make them think and have their own opinions in an intellectual way. You know, to them, you know, seeing such a kind of website like you described, or seeing, you know, other opinions within halacha, within orthodoxy, is a bigger threat to them than all the bullshit stuff they say they're afraid of.
Yep.
You know, it's just the way it is. But like I said, you know, if a girl would get up and ask her teacher, why can't my skirt be only 3.5 inches instead of 4, she'd be thrown out of the class in many right-wing schools. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, oh, that's a great question, let's explore, let's discuss. Again, it's not just about sneers. It's the whole approach to Yiddishkeit, to halacha, to amuna and bitachon is not an intellectual basis, which, again, they're going to claim that their way is the truth. Fine, so let's talk about it. You know, by saying that, sorry, you have to just accept it, you know, take it, or else you're a kofer, then that in itself tells me there's something wrong with their truth. And I'm not here to preach or to say that Judaism is not the truth or Torah is not the truth. I'm just saying that everyone has to approach it from intellectual, honest opinion and an intellectual, honest place in their brain. And maybe it is right for you. You know, everyone should do what's right for them, whether it's being from, not from, semi-from, call it what you will. I hate labels, but I'm saying, you know, any level of observance. But if it's just, you know, do as we say, whether you understand it or not, whether it makes sense or not, whether it's, you know, comfortable for you, whether it's right for you, or else, that's where the issues start. And, you know, just look around. A lot of the people who are no longer observant, be it in the closet or out of the closet, I can almost guarantee it's at some point you can trace it back to this. The core is that if you have questions that are not allowed to be asked, or questions that are not giving satisfactory answers, well, ultimately, there must be something wrong with the truth. Like I said before, when I'm showing a client the house, and I say, buy this house, and they say, well, tell me about the foundation. I say, don't worry about the foundation. It's good. We can't tell you details. Just trust us.
Right.
That's basically what they're saying. Yiddishkeit is great. It's the only way. It's God's truth. I say, oh, great. I would love to know about God's truth. So tell me, how is this understood? How is that understood? You know, why do good things happen to bad people? Why, you know, et cetera, et cetera? And they say, hey, we can't tell you. Just trust us.
Right. And I think that real estate analogy is really powerful because, you know, it's definitely a lot of parallels there. But for the people that say that from Judaism will always be the way for a Jew, okay. But I think for those people, then the response has to be, okay, from Judaism might be the way, but your way of from Judaism might not be good for every from Jew. So there has to be that. There's no flexibility and there's no room to be an individual and have an individual thought about these things. And I think that's where the problem lies. Like, as a whole, from Jews have to be a little bit more accepting, a little bit more not focused on the outward stuff, and a little bit more accepting of differences. And they're so not accepting of differences.
Right. And the thing that's strange is, it was like, what are they afraid of? You know, if they're so confident that their way, their God, their rules are right, so let's debate it. Let's talk about it. Answer our questions. I mean, only someone who is afraid of the real truth is afraid of answering questions. So it's like they're so confident. They walk around like, you know, it's our way or the highway. So, you know, convince me. You know, I'm a smart guy. You know, if you have something that to prove to me that, you know, my questions can be answered or my issues are not issues, go for it. You know, but, you know, that the very fact that they're afraid to engage or to let, you know, the sheep engage or the children or the students. I mean, just look what's happening. The people who are going off, I believe, is all for that reason, like I said. But okay, that was on my mind today. Questions, questions, questions. So
what kind of questions would you like people to come at you with this week?
People can come at me with any questions they like. I mean, as long as they're intellectually honest and just want to have a respectful, you know, conversation, go for it. I have no problem.
I hear that you're getting responses or questions like, what's the point of this? What are you doing? Those kinds of
things. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm getting a lot of the Kiev people are trying to carry me back, and I'm getting a lot of people like, what's the point of your whole podcast? I mean, listen, we're stuck in this life and we can't really change, which is true in many cases, but that doesn't mean we should ignore it. We can talk about it. We can try to figure out a way within the way we're living to make it a little more palatable, a little more, you know, less stifling or whatever. But that's not the point. But just, you know, I think most of the people who are coming at me with what's the point of what I'm doing, I really just cry for help. In that way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've engaged with many of the listeners, readers on my blog and, you know, Facebook and stuff. Some of them are, you know, intellectually honest and we've had some good conversations. The ones that are, you know, coming at me with Kirov, I you know, don't really respond to, or I block them because, you know, that's I'm not looking for Kirov. I can be Makar of them. I'm smart enough if that was my goal.
Yeah.
And all the arguments they're giving me, I can respond to them, but I'm it's not what I'm here for. But the people who, you know, really authentically want to have that conversation, try to figure out how to make their lives a little better, even within the firm framework or within staying within the firm community, you know, like myself, you know, I'm still in, you know, for the most part. But, you know, the more I am intellectually honest with myself and I think about stuff and I figure stuff out, I'm carving out a more comfortable, less stifling existence for myself within the community I'm in. Am I there yet? Of course not. But the more people that engage and more people that have the conversation and realize that, you know, you can still be from on your own level. You can be from in a way that works for you. You can have answers to your questions. You could even have questions. I guess that's the message of this, you know, today's podcast. You are allowed to have questions. It doesn't make you less of a from Jew if you have questions. Questions about God, questions about religion, about Emunah. B'tachon Torah, halacha. I mean, you know, heaven, hell, there's so many things people have questions with. And
so
it's okay to ask. It's okay
like
to have questions. That's okay.
I would like to know what questions people have had in the past that they asked that they didn't get satisfactory answers to. Or that they were
okay.
told.
I mean, most of those, you know, okay, most of those relate to emunah, b'tachon, God, why God does certain things, why certain laws are mandated when they're not really in the Torah. A lot of questions are around things that we're taught, don't do this or else, don't do that or else. Then, and a lot of those are just not there in the Torah. They're just not there in the text. They're extrapolated by the rabbis throughout the ages for whatever reason. You know, some reasons might be valid, some might not be valid, but we're not allowed to ask about that, right? You know, anything that you ask, you know, why does God do this? And you're told, what are you, a kaifer? What are you questioning God's existence? Yeah, what if I am? Maybe what God means to me is not what it means to you and to someone else. There's nothing wrong with having that conversation. There's nothing wrong. Now, the Gemara itself, you just go through, you know, many tractates, you'll find interesting questions, which if people would ask today, they'd be shunned as heretics.
Yeah.
I mean, Avraham Avinu, right, the founder of our nation, right, he would not be accepted into any from schools today.
Well, I think if Moshe Rabbeinu walked down the streets of Lakewood or Meisharim or whatever, like, everyone would be looking at him like he's, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't think, yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu would not get into any school here in Muncie or anywhere. You know, it's so backwards. And like, the more I think about it, the more I talk to people. It's just so, you know.
No, I remember when I was teaching in Cheder, we had a Parsha book. And mm-hmm. like, on all of the scenes of like Mitzrayim, like, everyone was wearing a shtreimel.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was the craziest thing. Whatever, I don't know. I just,
you know, there's like the famous joke that the Hasidim say in their schools. Like, they say Moshe Rabbeinu wore a shtreimel. So one of the kids would ask, like, how do you know? So the rabbi would say, what do you mean, how do you know? It says in the pasuk. So the kid says, which pasuk? So the rabbi says, well, it says Vayelech Moshe, and Moshe went. You think Moshe would go without a shtreimel? I mean, obviously he went with a shtreimel. And as ludicrous and as, you know, comical as that sounds, that's the kind of logic that they imbue in the kids.
You know, I think on chumrahversushalacha.com, there should also be a page about historical facts. And one of the historical facts should be, like, Moshe Rabbeinu and Avraham Avinu did not wear shtreimels. Like,
you know, I have news for you. They probably didn't even wear yarmulke.
Right.
Right?
They
probably went bareheaded.
Very dark skinned. And, you know,
yeah.
I mean, come on.
Like I said, none of them would be accepted in the society of the from world. They wouldn't be accepted into the schools. The whole thing is just stupid. Like, the whole basis of their cult, of their religion, is based on Moshe and Avram, when they have absolutely nothing to do with it. I mean, even like God, they have so little to do with God. God is not part of their lexicon. God is not part of their existence.
Yep.
I thought we spoke about that already. Anyway, I think we're going a little long for today. So I want to thank everyone again for tuning in to the Spiritual Center podcast. I would definitely want to hear from you. You know, you can email me, thespiritualcenter@gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram at From Stuck. You can find me on Facebook at Spiritual Center, or you can check out the blog, thespiritualcenter.com, where we have all the episodes of the podcast and other blogs that I've written and all that other good stuff. Until next time, this is Ari.
And Sarah. Sarah.
Okay, and we look forward to speaking to you again soon. And remember, questions are okay. They are not just okay, they are encouraged. Bye-bye.
Bye.